Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. That little phrase there translated in the King James, for all have sinned, is in the aorist tense. All that means is, all sinned when Adam sinned. But then in verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, as by the offense of one, that is Adam in the garden, judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that is Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. For as by one disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Thank you. You may be seated. The word representation means to act or stand in the place of. I realize that when I use the phrase the doctrine of federal representation, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Let's take it a word at a time. Representation means to act or stand in the place of. For instance, in Washington, D.C., we have a House of Representatives. Each person in that House acts or stands in the place of people. We have several Oklahoma representatives who act or stand in our place in Washington, D.C. When they vote, we vote. When my representative speaks, I am speaking because he represents me. Federal representation speaks of representing a mass of people, a number of people. When we speak of Adam as being our federal representative, all we mean is this. In the garden, Adam represented mankind. And what I want you to see from what Paul wrote to the early Christians in Rome is a very simple truth about Adam's representation. And it's this. We are condemned by the actions of our first representative, Adam. This is the teaching of verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon us all. For all sinned when Adam sinned. God placed Adam in the garden as the representative of mankind. If Adam chooses obedience, he and his posterity, that means us, live. If Adam chooses sin, he and his posterity die. Adam's choice was my choice. Adam's sin became my sin. Someone put it like this. When Adam sinned, we were all constituted, classified, and condemned as sinners because he was our federal representative. Now, I know some of you are sitting there and you just heard me say what I just said and you didn't have a clue what I just said. So let me make it very clear. God has every right to condemn you because of what Adam did. Not only that, God does condemn every one of Adam's posterity because of the sin of Adam. This is why babies die. The wages of sin is death. I know there are some who say babies are innocent and they're sweet little angels and so on and so on and so on. Now, hear me now. I'm not saying that babies who die in infancy are not in heaven. I believe God elected them. He gave them to Christ. Christ died for them and so on. But they die because they are guilty. Now, what is it that they are guilty of? They are guilty of Adam's sin. This is why infants die. This is the doctrine of federal representation. We are condemned because of the sin of Adam. Now, if you're listening to this by radio or if you're here this morning, I am sure that you probably have a few objections to this doctrine. In fact, I want you to see that the objections to this doctrine are numerous. Let me give you a couple of them and seek to answer these objections. First, some might say, I don't like representation. Listen, if I'm going to be condemned by God, then I want Him to condemn me for what I do. I don't want to be condemned because of what Adam did. I don't like this idea of representation. Let Adam stand on his own. Let me stand on my own. If someone is going to be your representative in the garden, and that someone, Adam, failed, then you might object to the choice that God made of Adam. It's a little bit like the colonists of early America. You remember what their cry was? No taxation without representation. In other words, they didn't want England to tax them if they didn't have anybody to represent the colonists before the king. Well, when the king heard their complaint, he said, all right, you want representation? I'll give you representation. I'll give you my brother. And the brother of the King of England represented the colonists. The colonists were furious. And so the Boston Tea Party ensued. Why? Because they didn't like the representation. They didn't like the king's choice. You don't like Adam as your representative? Do you think you could have done better? Is that your problem? Listen to what this text says in Ecclesiastes. This one thing I know, God hath made man upright. The word man there in the Hebrew is the word Adam. The word upright literally means a cut above. We draw our word holy from it. What the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, is saying is this. This one thing I know. When Adam represented me in the garden, he was the perfect representative for us all. God made him holy. In fact, I believe in free will. Adam had it in the garden. Now, we don't have it. As Luther said, we're in bondage to our sin. Not only did Adam have free will, he was inclined toward righteousness. He was made in such a way that he had every opportunity to be fully obedient to God and His commands. He was made that way by our Creator and put in the garden and was told, listen, Adam, you obey me, you and your descendants live. You disobey, death shall come in the day you disobey. Well, Adam disobeyed, and death came, and death passed upon all men, because all sinned in the death and in the sin of Adam. You say, well, shoot, you may convince me that Adam was the best representative. You may also convince me that representation is the way to go. But I don't like the punishment. You're telling me I am condemned by God because of the sin of one man? Adam's sin? Well, it's such a little sin. All God told Adam to do was to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all He said. And and you're telling me all of mankind deserves the condemnation of God because of that one sin? I don't like the punishment. Yeah. I knew that would be your objection. What you don't understand is this. Punishment must fit the crime. Let me ask you a question. What is the difference between a man taking a bow and an arrow and drawing back that bow and firing an arrow into a heart and people applauding and praising him and calling him a hero, and that same man taking a bow and an arrow, drawing back an arrow and firing that arrow through another heart and him being condemned as a criminal and sentenced to death? I propose to you the difference is the heart in which the arrow was fired. If it's fired into the heart of a deer, we praise him as a trophy hunter. But if it's fired into the heart of a man, he becomes a murderer. Because there's a difference between a deer and a man. You can sin against me, and it's one thing. But when you sin against God, it's another. You can lie to me as a preacher, and we may not be friends because of your lie. But if you lie to the President of the United States, you can be sent to jail, and you can even be hung as a traitor. Because what makes a sin so grievous is the person against whom the sin is committed. And when Adam sinned in the garden, he sinned against his eternal, holy, infinite, almighty Creator, who had told him not to do the very thing he did. And the wages of sin is death. You say, okay, maybe I understand that. But I still don't like this doctrine of federal representation, and I don't still like anybody telling me I deserve hell because of the sin of Adam. And by the way, you do deserve hell. Listen, if you take nothing else from this message, I want you to take this. You and I deserve hell because of the sin of Adam. Let's not even talk about our sins. Let's not even go there. Good grief. I mean, now I think God will go there one day. I think on that day of judgment, Jesus called it the day of wrath. I think he will go there. In fact, I think the Hitlers of this world will stand before God, and they are already condemned because of the sin of Adam. But their condemnation is increased because of their own sins. But you deserve condemnation because of the sin of one man. Now, if you continue to object, let me just remind you that not only are the objections to this doctrine of federal representation numerous, they're also very perilous. Let me show you what I mean. Listen to this great theologian by the name of Charles Hodge. To teach that we are condemned for our inherent depravity, that means our own sins, what we do, to the exclusion of Adam's sin, necessitates that we are justified for our inherent goodness, to the exclusion of Christ, which destroys all hope of heaven. Let me tell you what Charles Hodge is saying here. You see, if you don't like the doctrine of Adam representing you in the garden, then you're not going to comprehend the doctrine of Christ representing you on the cross. If you want to be condemned based upon your own actions, then correspondingly and logically, you will want to be justified based upon your own actions. And by the way, this is where human religion goes. Human religion goes to the fact that people are condemned based upon their sins, and people are saved based upon their acts of righteousness. But what I am saying is this: we are already condemned because of the sin of one man, Adam, and our condemnation is only compounded by our sins because we have been passed a sinful nature. But because I am saying that, then I am the only one, along with the Apostle Paul, and along with Luther, and along with Calvin, along with Zwingli, and along with Spurgeon, and along with Peter, and along with Timothy, and along with Jesus Christ, all of the saints throughout history, who can then say, we are justified by the obedience of the second Adam. This is what our text says. We are justified by the actions of our second representative, Jesus Christ. This is the teaching of verses 18 and 19. We were damned because of the sin of our first Adam. We are saved by the obedience of the second Adam. The first Adam chose sin unto death. The second Adam chose obedience unto life. In other words, in heaven, before God, you have only one of two representatives. You are either represented before God in Adam, or you are represented before God in Christ. Those are your only options. You are either in the first Adam, condemned for eternity, or you are in the second Adam, the last Adam, justified for eternity. Through the sin of one man, we all sinned and are condemned. Through the obedience of another man, we are justified. Now, this is what Paul is doing. And as we continue in our study of Romans, I'll show you how he is comparing Adam and Christ. Adam and Christ, how Adam is a type or a figure of Christ who was to come. Adam and Christ, and how Christ is so much superior than Adam. And we'll see this again in the weeks to come. But here's what I want you to see. You have no warrant to believe that you are justified through the actions of Christ, until you can come to grips with the fact that you are condemned through the actions of Adam. By the way, this is why the virgin birth is so critical to Christian doctrine. I will never be a part of any fellowship, a part of any group, a part of any church, any denomination that denies the virgin birth. I can't be. Why? Because Adam was our representative in the garden, not Eve. Adam was our representative. And death passed to mankind through Adam. The sin nature through Adam. Condemnation through Adam. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. In him was no sin. He was without guile. He had the nature of a sinless person. He did not deserve death because death was not passed to him. Verse 12. Do you see that? Born of a virgin, God Himself incarnate, come to this earth. Why did Jesus come? Now hang on to this. Listen carefully. Why did Jesus come? In love, God sent him to be a representative for some people. In fact, when Jesus Christ died his death at Calvary, this is why we call it the vicarious death. The word vicarious means substitute. Jesus Christ died as a representative for his people. Now, this is straight from Scripture. When the angels named him, in fact, they gave Mary the name of her son. She didn't name him. The angels, on direct orders from God the Father, gave Mary the name. What did the angel say? You shall call his name Jesus. Yahushua. It means he shall save. Joshua saved Israel. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people from their sins. There's no hopes to save in that text. There's no he might save. He shall save. Now, how can he save? Because he is their representative. He stands in their place. He acts on their behalf. His obedience becomes ours. His death becomes ours. What he received becomes ours. So that when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he stood in our stead. He stretched his arms in our stead. He received the thorns in our stead, the spirit aside in our stead. He was our representative. Now you say, now Pastor, wait just a minute. Whose representative? All right, hang on. Some of you aren't going to like this, but I've got to be faithful to the text. Jesus Christ was the representative for his people. The Bible calls his people different names. Let me give you a few of them. Believers, the church, the bride of Christ, the elect, those who trust God, who justifies the ungodly. You can call them any number of names. These are biblical names. These are people Christ came to represent. Now, here, hang on here. We're going to see this. It's going to get tough in Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 9, where Paul says that God gave these people to Christ and gave Him orders to go and to justify them, to save them. And He did this in love for these people. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought it was everyone who has ever lived. How can it be? How can it be? Because the Scriptures teach that there is such a thing as hell, and condemnation comes to sinners who are without a Savior. You say, but Pastor, let's look at the text. Well, let's do. But before we do, listen to the words of Christ. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Listen to this. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise them all up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? I have a mission. I will accomplish the mission. I will not lose one of the people that God has given me. Who are the people that God has given me? It's every single person who comes to me by faith. These are the people that God has given me. And if you come to me by faith, I will not cast you out. Why? Because you were given to me in the first place. I have come to represent you. And so listen, if you're here this morning and you're wondering for whom Christ died, I'll give you an answer. He died for those who will trust Him. Now, if you don't trust Him, what concern is it of yours if He died for you? You stand condemned already. But if you trust Him as the only Savior ever given to men, He will never, ever cast you out. Because that's the evidence that He died for you. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor, but the text says, just as through one man, sin and death passed to all because all sinned, so also through the obedience of one came justification to life upon all. Doesn't that mean every single human being? Listen, you only have two options here. Either Jesus Christ died in the stead as a representative for every single human being, and every single human being will be saved. That's universalism. And the Scripture does not teach that. Or Jesus Christ died in the stead as a representative for everyone that the Father had given Him in love for condemned sinners, and those called His people shall be saved because He died as their representative. Those are your only two options. Listen to what this great Scottish theologian by the name of Robert Haldane says about this text, verse 18. If all men means every human being without exception, then everyone shall be justified, universalism. But the Scriptures explicitly teach that not every person is saved. All men refers to all those represented. On account of the offense of Adam, sentence of death was pronounced upon all whom he represented. But on account of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, sentence of justification unto life was pronounced in favor of all whom he represented. Now, I know where your thoughts go immediately. They go to the question of, did Christ represent me when He came? And that is exactly where your thoughts should go. In fact, I had a father say to me this past week, he said, Pastor, when are you going to take my sons to the position of utter despair? His sons, by the way, are here this morning. When are you going to take my children to the place of utter despair where they realize that they have no hope apart from the grace of God? Pastor Wade, I want my kids to realize that their only hope is Jesus Christ, and that either He died for them on the cross of Calvary or they are without hope. Sons, your father asked me that. He asked me when I was going to drive you to the place of despair. I'm just beginning today, and in the weeks to come, there'll even be more despair. Because the truth of the matter is very clear. You and I are saved through the actions of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And He is our only hope. It is not what you do. It is not what you commit. It is not your religion. It is not your baptism. It is not anything that you do. You are condemned by the sin of the first Adam, and you are justified by the obedience of the second Adam. Now, where are you going to go? Who do you want to represent you before God? I don't know about you, but because I know my nature and I know my predicament, I am going to turn to Jesus Christ, and here's what I'm going to plead with Him. I'm going to beg Him for His mercy. I'm going to plead with Him to be gracious to me, a sinner. I'm going to cry out to Him and throw aside all self-righteousness. I'm going to throw off all hope of me ever doing anything to be acceptable to God. And I'm going to say, I know I deserve to be condemned, not only because of the sin of my forefather Adam, but because of my own sin nature. But Father, my trust is in You, who justifies the ungodly through Jesus Christ. And I throw myself at Your feet, and I plead Christ and Him alone. And I have all the promises of Scripture that if any person ever comes to Christ like that, he will never, ever be rejected. But the problem is, because we think what we do brings us the condemnation of God, then we turn around and think that what we do brings justification from God. Doesn't happen that way. We're damned by the sin of the first man. We're saved by the obedience of the second man. He doesn't save everybody. He only saves those who trust Him. That is the gospel. And I will never apologize for preaching it. It's foolish to mankind. It's tasteless. It's moronic. It's stupid. It's silly. It's all the human words that you want to put on it. But I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you, that it is the power of God unto salvation. And when an old biker, when an old drunk, my heart goes out to these folks. It goes out to them. Because I've got the only good news that matters. I tell them about Christ who died for the chief of sinners. And I point them to Christ. Oh, I've got good news for people like that. But if you fall in line with religion, you don't have any good news. Nope. All you've got is a system of morality that will get you nowhere. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And sir, I see God moving in your heart. May by His grace you believe the truth that you have heard this morning.